Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me today. We are going to be speaking today to Ellison Auth. She wrote a book called Baby and Beyond, Overcoming Those Post-Childbirth Woes. And she is going to share with us her experiences because she is really passionate about sharing the knowledge and the struggles that she had in her motherhood, in her vocation with postpartum depression. And I think that's something a lot of women struggle with in their lives, knowing or unknowing. So without further ado, let's get into it with Ellison. All right, everyone, thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert, and this is Women Made New. And we are here with Ellison Auth, and she wrote that amazing book, Baby and Beyond. Welcome, Ellison.
Oh, thanks, Crystalina, for having me.
It is a pleasure, really. I love your book. It is so where women are at. It's what they need. And not all women struggle with those postpartum childbirth woes, but some women do. And it's a real thing. And maybe on some certain level, all women go through something after they have a baby because they go through so much. You go through so much that they don't realize what's happening to them. But it really is just stages after you come home from having that baby. And it's a reality that women do struggle with this. And sometimes I think they are shameful because they may not be as happy as they thought they'd be bringing their newborn home, you know, or getting into it a couple months or weeks. But what is your take on all the different research and your own experiences on the postpartum depression that women do feel when they come home?
Yeah, you know, the feedback that I am hearing from the book is just women breathing a sigh of relief that they're not alone, that somebody understands them, that they're not the only ones going through this. And whether it is postpartum depression or just, you know, a difficulty adjusting, maybe it's, you know, like I'll go into the book about nutrient depletion. It could be the problem. It could just be the lack of sleep. It could be, you know, the wild hormone ride that you're going on, that we're all kind of going through something. Or maybe, you know, maybe it's not so mental for you, but maybe you're really struggling physically and you're not getting a lot of good advice on where to go and how to recover. Or maybe it's just, you know, in your marriage or in your spiritual life, that there are just so many things that are changing, that I really felt there was a need for a book out there that's going to combine all three things, that spiritual recovery, the mental piece and the spiritual piece. And, I just really believe that God desires for us to be these wholly integrated women. And, you know, He has created our bodies to reveal our soul. And when our bodies are hurting and our souls are hurting, we can't live out the vocation to motherhood the way that He's called us to. And so I feel like we're all struggling in one way or another, but we're not talking about it. So this book is just my attempt to start that conversation and to share my story, invite women into that story to feel heard and understood and to just find, to make some connections and to find some hope and some healing in that. So that women can find the resources and the help that they need.
Beautifully said. I know, coming from my own experience, so I have my 8 beautiful children and my 2 babies in heaven, right? And with 10 pregnancies total, my body has gone through so much. But also, I look at my body and I just thank God and just like, wow, I did that, you know, and not on my own, obviously. But wow, our bodies are amazing. It's amazing that I have had 10 pregnancies, 8 babies, and here I am, you know, and it just didn't take me out. It's kind of shocking. But one thing I will say, with every single baby that I have had, right, I call it mommy shock. It's just the best way I could describe it. Coming home, no matter if you have one or if you have 8 or 10 children, it's always the same. It's always been the same every baby that I come home and you're just in this mommy shock of just like this deer in headlights almost of like, you got hit by a train because your body goes through so much. You mm-hmm. have this baby, you're coming home and you have to learn this new life with if it's 2 now or if it's the 4th or the 7th or mm-hmm. my goodness, the 8th of the new dynamics in the family, the needs of the kids, of the needs of the newborn, your own needs, your marital needs. I mean, there's a lot of puzzle pieces to fit into that, right? And a lot of it is like on you almost of, okay, we got to kind of sort this out. We got to navigate and see where the new normal is, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that mommy shock honestly lasts a good 3 months. And after that, I feel like I'm slowly coming out of the woods, right? And I honestly don't ever feel really just kind of normal in myself, even though my body isn't yet, because it takes a long time.
Yeah.
Till at least almost 6 months, I feel. But the first 3, I feel, are pretty rough. And you're going through all sorts of different emotions and ups and downs. And then your body isn't right. And your weight is all over. And just everything. What do you think when women get home and they're dealing with that, that they can do to kind of just overcome that or make that transition a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think what you said is really important, just to realize that we need time to mm-hmm. recover from that mommy shock. Yes. And I actually am a big advocate of calling that first year after giving birth, you know, give yourself a whole year to consider yourself postpartum. I feel like we do such a disservice to ourselves when we give ourselves like that 6-week checkup as like this mile marker of, okay, well, now I can resume exercise and intimacy and I can just go back to my real life. And, you know, your life will never be the same after this baby has come, because this is a new life that never existed before. And like you said, your body needs so, you know, they say like 9 months to grow a baby and 9 months to recover from that. And I think there's so much wisdom in that. Just in the fact, it's not like you can't go back to work or, you know, live your life or anything like that, but just to give yourself time and grace and extra rest and pay attention to your hormones and your nutrition and take it easy with exercising and pay attention to what aches and pains you have and let them be kind of an indication of where you still need healing, and to realize that your baby is changing so much in that year, like their sleep cycles and their eating habits, that you're going to be adjusting a lot in that time too. And I found for myself that I've actually hit a really low point about 11 months postpartum. So I'm still within that year. And it's just like the combination of lack of sleep and what I really believe is, you know, nutrient depletion that I've been nursing, and I'm just giving so much of myself and all that I have to feed and to grow this baby. And if I'm not giving myself enough, my hormones need good nutrition and those vitamins and minerals to replenish themselves. And if I'm giving everything to my baby and I'm not, you know, giving myself enough of that, then I just plummet. And, so I found myself in the doctor's office at about 11 months postpartum with my last 2 children, just realizing like I'm not in a good place and I really need some help. And I see now that it was connected, you know, to this whole cycle of pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. But yeah, there's just so much that goes on. I want a woman to make those connections and to give themselves grace and, you know, to admit when you're in survival mode and maybe this isn't how you would love to do things forever, but, you know, for that year you can, you know, order more takeout and use paper plates or, you know, hire some help or, you know, just like be okay with some naps and put a show on for the kids, you know, like, you're just trying to do your best. And I feel like that's all God is really asking us in this time, is that we are giving so much of ourselves and we're just trying to do our best. And the rest, we just surrender to the Lord so he can fill in the cracks, you know?
That is so true, that you have that mommy guilt of, we're going to do takeout. Or, you know what, just go get those paper plates, kids, because that is okay tonight. You know, or like three consecutive nights. That's okay.
Yes.
I have been there. I get it. And I think I'm a little shocked that you said 11 months, you know, or a year, because my goodness, you get that 6 week mark from the doctor and you think like, okay, well, let's go, like, get up, time to move it. Time to be okay. You should be okay by now, you know? And I remember I had our first baby. When the doctor said that, I was like, oh, okay, well, I better just feel fine and go. And I started working out. I just started going. And, you know, there's almost this guilt if you don't, in my mind, but I think I put that on myself. It's not that anyone was giving that to me, but I definitely was like, well, I guess I better just get back to as normal as possible and just be fine. But there were a couple pregnancies where I wasn't fine. I wasn't happy. I was miserable and I was sad. And it was really hard because I felt like I just had a baby. And I feel like I've had a baby after a baby after a baby after a baby. You know, after I married Jason, I had 2 weeks and we came home, and maybe a week after we found out I was pregnant. And that was only 3 weeks into marriage.
Yep. And same here.
And I feel like my entire marriage has been filled with nothing but pregnancies and breastfeeding. And I'm not complaining, by all means, anyone out there. I am not complaining. They've all been blessings. But when I found out I was pregnant and my daughter was only 9 months, it took me out. It was really hard.
And it's hard on the hormones.
It's hard on the hormones. It's hard on your body. Like, you just gave so much, you know, of yourself, and your body just went through so much. And then I was pregnant again, and oh my goodness, it was a lot. And it's like, I feel like I haven't really been able to my body hasn't been able to normalize and just stabilize because I've had such consecutive pregnancies one after the other. Right. And I honestly don't know. Well, what is that like? just evening out. Right. Because I literally I breastfeed for a year, a full blown year. I've breastfed all my kids for a full blown year. But I feel like when you get pregnant and you have a baby, for me in my life, it's a 2 year process because the pregnancy is a whole thing. And then the first year of life is another because they need so much of you that first year of life, right? Yep. And then I have my other children at me, which is just, it just is insane. And when I tell people, they go, how many kids do you have? Right? And I'm like, oh, I have 10. I have two babies in heaven, and then I have 8 here. And their eyes like almost pop out of their head, you know? But for some reason, I'm supposed to be at home just like, oh, this is great. This is so easy. It's not easy. It's really difficult. And for those of you out there that struggle and have a big family, and even if you have two and you're struggling, it's okay. Moms struggle. We have a really hard time. And you know, we always don't have it together. We always don't. And it's not always perfect. And everything isn't always this picturesque Instagram photo in our homes. There is laundries. There's dirty diapers. There's vomit. There's just kids running around. There's kids crying. There's just a whole big mess. But that's where we find Jesus. Mm. You know, it's yes. not always in the roses. It's in the cross.
Yeah. Yeah, you're bringing up so many good points. Just that also part of the desire for getting this book into mothers' hands is because I think it's also the other side of being pro-life. You know, you want to see babies as a gift, and they are such a gift, and you want to encourage big families. And I'm, you know, seeing the beauty of those sibling relationships and this family culture that we're building, and it's amazing. But you can't share that beauty of a big family when the mother is suffering physically, mentally, or spiritually. And like I think about when we moved to the house we're in now, and I was 7 months pregnant with my third, Luke. And so after he was born, you know, we had this elderly neighbor, and he's such a wonderful gentleman that we know now. But I was so embarrassed to like try to witness to him or tell him that we're Catholic because I'm like yelling at my kids and I'm so miserable all the time. Like I have a problem when I can't be like evangelize in the beauty of my family. And so I think part of pro-life is pro-mother and encouraging the mother to get either the help she needs or the encouragement and the support she needs to, you know, be there for her family and to be able to share that love and that beauty. And so it's not just about getting the kids here, but it's, you know, giving them this family environment to raise them in. And, that's, you know.
I love that you said that. So many moms feel like, oh my gosh, I'm such a disgrace right now. Right? But see, I think that's where we have to show up to our own fight. In these moments when it's really difficult and you feel like you're just epically failing as a mom, because I definitely have those moments in my life. I don't know if any of you out there can relate, but you just feel like you're epically failing. Just like, Lord, why did I let it get to that? You know, but that's okay. And I also feel like in those times where it's just like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? How am I going to handle this? I'm exhausted or I'm tired or this is too much right now. How? It's the how am I going to do this? And a lot of women, I think, sometimes give themselves the why. Why is this so hard? Or this shouldn't be this hard, you know? And we tell ourselves that. And I was talking to a girlfriend once, and I was telling her these different things. She goes, wait, what did you just say? I said, well, it shouldn't be this hard. Or is it supposed to be this hard? She goes, I have that all the time. Why is it so hard? Should it be this hard? Should it be this difficult? She goes, you know what? Satan is just not smart when it comes to all the lies he tells us different women. It's the same old thing. He's telling all of us that it's too hard or it shouldn't be this hard or we can't do this, you know? And we can. And I know God gives all women the strength to do anything that he's asking us to do. And when we're, especially when we're obedient in his will. Right?
Yes.
And we can't shy away from the fact that there is going to be difficulties. There is going to be hardships. And in those moments where it's like, oh, I just don't want to, or I don't want to go on right now. It's just, let me go to bed. No, just no. You know, you have those moments. That's where I feel like we have that. I call it mom strong. I call that the mom strong, of where you don't feel like or want to do anything or any of it. And you're just kind of done. Or your kid is up all night or throwing up and you're just exhausted and you have nothing left. That's where I feel like we pull that grit out of ourselves, a strong woman of God, and we do it and we keep going. Somehow we find that strength, if it's a little or a lot, and we keep going and we do what's right for our kids and we do what's right for our family. And we're there. We show up. And in that in itself, ladies, is a thing of just being there, and you show up. And do you do it perfectly? Maybe not. But are you there for your kids? And when they look back, remember you being there? Absolutely. And I think that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. And for me, there was a big turning point when I shifted my mindset from, it's not about getting it right all the time and being a perfect Catholic mom and having it all together. And I can do this by myself. It's like, I can't do anything by myself. Lord, like, I need your help and That's I need right. your grace. And I need God more than ever. And I feel like he really does bear fruit in us when we just surrender to him. You know, like Mary in her fiat, just being like, be it done unto me, Lord. Like that receptivity to say, come into my life in these places where I feel like I'm getting it wrong or I'm failing or I'm messing it up. And he comes and he does the work when we just surrender.
Yes, he does. Do you know, I've been in my kitchen just done. Just yasta, just done. Okay. I'm like, that's the word. I'm like, yasta, just I'm done. And so I'm in my kitchen and things are just blowing up all over. There's just fires all over my house with my kids and just nonsense happening. And I literally will say out loud, like, Lord Jesus, what is it you want me to do right now? I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. And I remember my kids coming in once, like looking around with those eyes all around the room, like, Mom, who are you talking to? And I'm like, I'm talking to Jesus right now, kids. Okay, just you need to go in the other room right now. Just completely over it, you know? But he gave me these kids. These are our kids too with Jesus. And he needs to tell me sometimes what I'm supposed to do because I don't know. And I think it's in those moments where there is wisdom and there is guidance, because we do try to do it all on our own and we forget to call on Jesus. You know, these are his kids too with us. And I know with a shadow of a doubt, because I was in adoration bawling once, just bawling to God, you know, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? It's my sixth or seventh or whichever one it was, you know, it all kind of just meshes together at some point. And I was just super overwhelmed. And I felt like I got in prayer that God will never, ever give you a child. And when he puts life into our womb, I feel like he leaves this fingerprint of grace inside of us from creating that life, that we will have that grace. We will have that strength. We will have everything we need to raise that child that he has given us. And if we do it together with God and we do it together with Jesus as a helpmate as well, oh my gosh, and the Blessed Mother, I mean, we got this, ladies. We really do. But I really think in those times, we get so wrapped up in everything and our emotions and the kids and the situation and maybe even perfection or whatever it is we're trying to do or how we're failing. We get wrapped up in the negative and way down that we don't look to heaven and ask God, how do you want me to do this to pull ourselves out of it? That's really all we have to do to pull ourselves out of that. Just look up to God and he'll give you what you need to pull yourself out of the yuck or the rut or the muck that you're in. Because I've been in that and it's a hard place. And I have had postpartum depression and not knowing what's going on. And I'm crying and I'm bawling or I'm angry or I'm this or I'm that. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not knowing what's going on with your own body and hard not understanding, well, I just had a baby. Why am I not happy right now? You know, why am I not losing this weight? Why am I not this? Why am I? It's all these whys. Mm-hmm. And I think the deeper you go into like just why something's wrong with me. Why am I not doing this right? I feel like I was digging myself this hole, you know, and I just kept going down that horrible rabbit hole of just like not being happy. And, you know, and then I finally had to stop and like, what is happening, Jesus? What's going on here? And then I went to my doctor and then she told me, I'm like, okay, because I didn't struggle with that. And I don't think it was until, honestly, my sixth that I experienced those things. So I think my body just had gone through so much already. And then it just was done, you know, because it takes so much of you, right?
Yep.
And then also, I want to address the new moms. Those new moms who have not had a baby yet, or maybe you're engaged and really looking forward to having a big family or just having kids with your husband, a future husband, and that's wonderful. Or maybe you're pregnant right now. And just, I want to talk about the realities of what pregnancy is and what it does, because it's not all pink and blue booties and, you know, and just this, like wonderful, just in the sky, wonderful. Oh, we're having a baby kind of thing, you know, and at first it is and it's wonderful, but I feel like it's very sugar coated with these rose colored glasses. And nobody talks about how hard or what your body goes through or what you're going to experience. And then you get hit with these things and you're in shock because, wait, what? Or I didn't know this, or what's happening right now? You know, because it isn't that just what you thought it was.
Yes. And it's so hard to speak to somebody who hasn't experienced it yet. But I think there is some really wisdom in just saying, hey, like, babies are beautiful and you're going to have a lot of snuggles and it's going to be great, but it also takes a lot out on your body and it's really hard. And when you do struggle, that it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're a bad mom for not loving your child today. It doesn't mean you're a bad mom for feeling depressed. Like, a lot of times, I think there's this important distinction to make between, like the sufferings that are just naturally a part of motherhood and the way that you give of yourself. And the sufferings are things that are actually something's wrong with your body and you can heal those things, you know? So accepting the things that you can't change and changing the things that you can. And to say, you know what, like postpartum depression is not your fault. That is not something that if you just prayed harder or just felt happier thoughts, you could just get yourself out of. You know, you probably need progesterone. You probably need some medication to help you get over that hump, you know? Mm-hmm. But then there's the other parts where, you know, you cry out to the Lord and you say, you know, I'm just struggling with this mentality and I need your help. So trying to make that distinction, I think, is really important between the things that are not your fault, the hormone imbalances or where you might need medication, and then the things that are just part of like your baby's going to be up at night. Like, I think as mothers, especially new mothers, can be so obsessed about how long their baby's sleeping or is this not normal and they're not on a schedule yet. And I just want to be like, hey, schedules And babies have never been a thing for me. You know, like, they will sleep when they want to sleep and they will eat when they want to eat. And that's like, if right. they take a cat nap in the middle of the day, they're still normal. And, you know, if they're awake five times in the middle of the night, well, that's just normal too. And those are the things where we just have to say, okay, Lord, I accept this part of my vocation and I just ask you to make me holy through it. So it's not that we can control everything about our babies, you know.
So what would you say that makes postpartum time right now so difficult in this kind of day and age?
Oh, I think that there's a lot of reasons, and they're all kind of different, but kind of connected. I think kind of what we touched on before is that expectation that we can do it all. You know, we can just get back our bodies and, you know, get back to work or whatever it is we're doing, that adding another baby to the mix, that's no big deal, but it is a big deal. And I think, you know, modern day feminism devalues motherhood. So we're up against that as well when we're trying to just kind of be countercultural in the way that we embrace motherhood and, you know, devote ourselves to our children, however that may look, that family life is important. And so just that expectation that we can do it all by ourselves. And we also have that loss of extended family, that support system, that loss of collective wisdom that's handed down in family generations. And so because, you know, we don't have that support system, we don't have that collective wisdom, I think we look to social media and to medical experts for advice. And I just think it's very impersonal, and it often leads to feeling like a failure because I'm not doing it right, or I'm not doing it like they are. And, you know, so we can, that kind of leads to isolation and that feeling like we're not doing it right.
That is such valuable information. We are going to take a quick break with our friends at EWTN, and we will be right back with our guest, Allison Off. Okay, everyone, welcome back. Today, our guest is Allison Off, and we are discussing her book, Baby and Beyond, Overcoming Those Post-Childbirth Woes. And I don't know about you and all those different mothers that are out there listening, but I definitely have experienced this. And maybe on some level you have and didn't even realize it, or you full-blown are experiencing it. I don't know where you're at in your stage in life, but what you do need to know in your motherhood is that you are not alone in your struggles and in the difficulties that you're having. And it sometimes just comes with the territory of having a baby or multiple babies, depending where you are at. So, Allison, what does the spiritual life of a postpartum mother look like?
You know, it's not going to look the same for every mother, but mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that meme going around the internet. And it's these two men on a roller coaster wearing masks, and it says, "Please scream inside your heart." I just think, like, you were talking about just like crying out to the Lord in your kitchen. And I don't know why it's always the kitchen, you know, that's where I'm like, you know, just crying out to the Lord, but because I'm in there so much, but it's just right? like a lot of heart screaming sometimes, like, "Lord, yes. please help me. I can't
I'm
do
drowning.
This."
Yeah. And that's okay. Exactly.
But what has really shaped my postpartum spirituality is the quote by St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and she says, "Prayer is a surge of the heart, a simple look turned toward heaven, a cry of recognition and love, embracing both trial and joy." And like you were saying earlier, just like looking towards heaven and just inviting God into all of these moments and just saying, "Lord, I need you." And so that simple look toward heaven, that was such important for me because, you know, when I was single, I worked for a church and I spent a lot of time in the Adoration Chapel and I was going to daily mass. And then like you, I got pregnant on my honeymoon and it was like baby after baby after baby. And I just felt like I was disappointing God because I didn't have the same spiritual life as I had before. And I kind of just distanced myself from him because I just felt like I can't do the things I was doing before. And now I must be a disappointment to him. And that was such a lie from the enemy. And it took me a while to realize that, like, the Lord just wanted me where I was at. He wanted me to look towards him, you know, that cry of recognition, embracing both trial and joy. And so that really changed the way that I saw my prayer in this season of survival, because postpartum is a season. It doesn't last, but it's a profound season, and it affects so many parts of your life, and every season has its purpose. So for me, that postpartum spirituality was all about God's mercy and my need for Him. And there was a psalm in the Sunday reading a couple weeks ago. It was Psalm 65, and it said, "Thus you have prepared the land, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yields." And I just love that image of breaking up the clods, because I just felt like postpartum just broke me, like the need my children had for me day and night, and I just didn't know how much more I could give to them. And when I felt like I was at my breaking point, the Lord just, he fills in and he gives you more, but he was just breaking that exterior, you know, breaking up the clods of dirt, so that way he could water me and come into the very interior life of my heart and my soul and soften me and prepare me to bear fruit in this vocation of motherhood. So I just think like that garden analogy is so beautiful for this time, because it's not my doing. Like the Lord is bearing fruit in me, breaking up those clods of dirt, and it's in our brokenness and that emptiness that we give God room to work. And so I take a lot of comfort in the parable of the poor widow who goes to the temple treasury, and she just gives all that she has, which is, you know, two small coins. They're not worth very much. But for her, it was everything. She was giving her whole livelihood, all of her poverty, just handing everything over. And I just feel like, you know, at that times when I just feel spent and I have nothing left to give, that's all that God is asking. It's like, you know, that the poverty and my livelihood and just whatever I have left, he blesses that. And so I just want that to be a message of God's mercy to mothers who are just feeling like they're failing and they're not getting it right, and whatever they're doing is not enough, because the Lord takes what you're giving and he does bless that.
I absolutely love the phrase of season of survival. Did you hear that, ladies? It is the season of survival sometimes. You know what? Because I live that. I get it. I have gone through those times where I am literally, I love that phrase, season of survival. And you know what? That season is okay. It is okay. You are in survival mode, and nobody can tell you how to survive. God can tell you how to survive. That's a whole different story. But people out there judging you, or you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right. No, no, no. You just need to push all of that out and all the judgment out, because you judge yourself harsh enough as it is. You don't need the outside doing it as well from people, right? Isn't that the truth? Yep. And I feel like I have this evil spectator always there at me, which is the evil one of, oh, did you see that? You didn't do that right. Oh, he's crying. You're not getting there fast enough. Oh, that doesn't look perfect enough. What are you doing? Why are you being lazy? You know, it's like this constant like beat down, right? And that we give ourselves, and then it comes from the outside as well. And we really just need to take a breath and step back. And in those moments where you just feel low, because there are times in your motherhood or after you have a baby that you will feel just low. And even if you're looking at your precious, beautiful newborn gift from God, you may just feel low. And that's okay, because your body just gave birth to a human life. Like, you just went through a train wreck. And you know what? You're not going to be okay after that 100%. And just know that's a fact of life after you have a baby. And then also be gentle with your body of the different changes that you're going to go through during pregnancy, because you will experience the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and also the weight gain. And some women, they don't gain that much weight. Other women like me, oh my gosh, my toes were pregnant. Like, everything was pregnant. Like, it's pregnant. Not just all, like, every single pregnancy, I just couldn't get away from it. I gain huge amounts of weight. And a lot of the time afterwards, I have been able just to work out and be healthy and just get it all off and not a big deal. But I will say this last pregnancy I had, this was my 10th, okay? This one has been the most difficult for me. I've never been 9 months in after having a baby and still still pretty heavy in my mind, you know, and I'm not as heavy as I think. And everyone's like, no, no, but you know where you want to be, right, Allison? Yeah. You know where it's like, well, you know where you want to be. Everyone's telling you this or that. Well, that doesn't really matter because you know in your heart where you want to be or where you were. And you never maybe can't even get back to where you were because you just had a baby or you've had multiple babies that your body won't go back to where you were. So you also have to be gentle with yourself in that, that you may never have that figure again, but that's okay. That's okay. You gave life and that's beautiful. And you aren't going to stay the same. None of us stay the same. If it's a man or woman, we're constantly evolving and changing as we're growing and getting older and things just change. And that's a way of life, but it's how we deal with it. And gracefully, hopefully, that makes it easier. But at the same time, I'm not going down without a fight. You know, I'm not, I am not going down without a fight, and I want to work hard and I want to get my body back. But this time around, it's been really difficult for me. Now, granted, I haven't like had this regimen of working out like I have in the past or just like going all clean and eating clean and all of that as well. But it's because I have 8 children and it's so hard sometimes to just stop and step back and put yourself first, even though I know that's what needs to be done. And I know that's what needs to happen. Just being up breastfeeding when he's teething all night, I don't really feel like getting on a treadmill. Or I don't really feel like going on a run. So how do women who are struggling with that deal with it, Allison?
Oh, man, I love that you said the word gentle, like being gentle with your body, because how many times do we just like look at our body and criticize it and punish it because it's not doing what we want it to do? Yeah. And like, we just need to be harder on ourselves and that'll fix it. But you're right. Like the body has gone through so much to bring this new life into the world. And, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about motherhood, but also the difficult things. And, you know, like I think one area is to be aware of our thought patterns and, like you were saying earlier about like just being so hard on ourselves, but the devil condemns, but the spirit convicts. And so if that's you're punishing your body, like just tell Satan to get behind you and to be gone. And the spirit can convict us to take walks, like put the baby in a stroller and go for a walk, or, you know, to take care of your body, because your body is important to live out your vocation. You need a healthy body to be able to take care of your kids. And so just finding that balance between, you don't need to go look like a supermodel and you don't need like, you know, a six pack and flat abs to be a healthy mother. But you know what? You do need a strong core and you do need a strong pelvic floor and you do need, you know, to be able to hold yourself up and you do need be able to be able to squat properly to pick up the baby from the crib or to pick up a car seat. And because, you know, like if you throw out your back, you're not going to be able to take care of your baby in the way that you need to. So there are parts of physical recovery and parts of getting back in some sort of shape that are just important for your vocation. But to just be realistic about it too, you're right. As you get older, your body is never going to go back to its, you know, 25-year self or anything like that. And the more babies you have, like the more your body is likely to change and, you know, it grows a little stretchy and it's not always going to go back. But taking care of yourself is important so you can take care of your children. And I think too, like there are so many ways like to get exercise that doesn't have to be like so difficult to do. You know what I mean? Like I can turn on like an online workout and my 7-year-old can try to, you know, do some of it with me. Or, you know, just like running up and down the stairs with a laundry basket, like make that count, you know? Yes. So, you know, there are ways to do it, but.
You know, what's so sad is that I just joined this kickboxing gym, right? Not too far. I love kickboxing. I did it ever since I was 16. I had to stop for a while because of some things that happened in 2 of the pregnancies with my hips, right? But then I was able to go back and I went to 2 classes and I even joined it with my daughter, Mary, right? And my son, Colby, because I'm like, oh, this will be fun. They actually could come with me, you know, because they're in their teens now. And I could kickbox with my kids and start. And I went twice with them and then the gym shut down. because of COVID. Oh, no. And I'm just like, you're kidding me. Like, I finally mustered it up to go work out and to do this, right? And talk about just like taking wind out of my sails, you know, because I had to like talk myself into it for the longest time. Because one thing, it's hard, is having this insecurity just like plump just on you. Right? Or having something on you that you just don't like, but it's there. But if there is something that is in within your control, mm-hmm. it's something that we've got to get. And I think just slay, because it's something that is keeping us from doing maybe even the will of God fully, because it holds us back in certain areas, or it's where there is either, I don't know, there's this just shame, or there's this insecurity, or that even will bring on fear in some cases, depending what insecurity it is, that you can't fully embrace what it is God's asking you to do, because it's almost a handicap in someone's life, right?
Yes.
And not that my weight is a handicap by any means or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But there are insecurities that come with that may keep me from doing certain things that, or being on camera or whatever else. And there have been times where I've just had a baby and I've been asked to do a curriculum or do something where God's like, okay, is this about vanity or is this about souls? You know? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. But obviously it's always at the end of the day about the souls, but it's hard and humbling because that's not where you necessarily want to be. But at the same time, that's not always what matters. You know, and I remember my girlfriend telling me, and she just had her sixth. And I said, how are you feeling? She goes, you know, I'm not exactly where I want to be with my weight. She said, but I'm healthy. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And I'm healthy. And I thought, yeah, that's good. That's right. You know, that's a big deal, that especially so many complications and things that can happen after you've had a baby. And that I have experienced, that just alone and just being healthy and happy and being able to just run around with your kids and hold your baby and not have complications, that's a blessing in itself, right?
Yes. That's so good, being healthy. That's like what we should really be striving for. Because not only does it help your relationship with your kids, but it helps your relationship with your husband too. Like, being healthy and not being so tired all the time, it mm-hmm. allows me to be more available to be with my husband, and getting some of the physical problems fixed, like, helps our marital relationship. And I'm totally convinced that, you know, about the nutritional piece, that we need those vitamins and minerals to support hormone production. And those hormones are going to affect our cycles. And, you know, so to get back on track with all those things, we need good nutrition. So, yes, being healthy will help your family and your marriage in so many ways.
So, ladies that are out there listening, if you're struggling with anything that we're talking about, or you can relate, I would like to encourage them, and I'm sure you'd back me up on this, Allison, to get help. Like, really bring someone in the home and to get some help, because you cannot be all things to all of your kids and your husband and the baby and take care of yourself all the time. And it's okay. And years ago, I was just like buried and I couldn't take anymore. And I'm like, you know what? And I was being really prideful. It was out of my own pride that I'm like, no, I can do this. I can do this. I don't need help. But I did need help. And that was just a hurdle of my pride I really had to get over. And then I started getting a little mommy's helper to come in and help me. And it was absolutely a game changer for me, because you can be more present. And maybe that person, I was having them take care of the dishes and having them do some laundry or cleaning up for me in areas or picking up after the kids. So that way I could be a mom to my kids and be there present, instead of like splitting myself of just halfway doing this and halfway doing that. I feel like I was living halfways, you know, always halfways around my house. I was halfway getting this done. And I was halfway being present. And it just was so frustrating. I was so constantly frustrated. Even though I was trying so hard and doing my best, I was still frustrated. And I'm sure I was frustrating my family. So if you need to bring someone in, and if you're able to, to do that, because there is nothing wrong with that. And just find that balance. And even if it's once a week, you know, that person's coming for 3 hours. Wow, you've got those 3 hours. And I know that's everything, because even like 15 minutes is everything sometimes in a house full of children. You know, it's amazing. So, and that you have that time to look forward to as well, or have someone come in an hour a day and you have that hour to do what it is you need to do, or just spend time with your kids. But don't be ashamed to get that help and ask for help and really bring to light what's going on. I think that's another huge point of, if there's something happening with you and you don't feel right, or you're sad, or you're overwhelmed, sometimes women really put some lipstick on it and you'd never know. You'd never know that's happening. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's okay, because you can't really get help if you leave it in the dark. And we keep things maybe even a secret sometimes, and that the devil cannot follow us into the light. And that if you bring that to Jesus in adoration, you talk with your husband about it, you talk with your doctor about it, the less control that will have over you to a certain extent. And especially if it's a spiritual thing and just a heaviness, that if you bring that to Jesus, he can overcome that, you know, but that's something that you may not be able to overcome on your own. Mm-hmm. So to bring everything to the light, because the devil cannot follow us there, no matter what. So what would you say, let's just say the two most important things that if a woman is experiencing this, what she can do right now?
I would say get help is that first one. you know, to see your doctor, maybe get your hormone levels tested, start taking your vitamins. Maybe you need to see a chiropractor or a physical therapist, or maybe you need to see a counselor. I haven't really delved into looking at any research on this, but anecdotally, I really find that there's something about that change of motherhood that really, and bringing up your own kids, that brings up stuff from the past, from your own childhood, and just makes it very real. And maybe God brings it up that time so that way you and your husband can, you know, journey through that together. But just remember, like, getting married and thinking, like, I'm in a good place. Like, I don't got any big problems that I'm bringing into my marriage and all this stuff. And then we had kids. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man, I've got problems. Yes. And, you know, just to get help for those as well. And the first time I went to go see a therapist, she asked me, like, do you work out and do you take vitamins? And so she just really brought home that connection between the body and the soul, and that we really need to be taking care of both and treating both. But I mean, get help, like talk to a doctor, talk to a counselor. And I would say the second piece is bringing other people into your life. Like, we are not meant to do this alone. And you have a husband, and like, to not isolate yourself from him in this time, which is what I tend to do, because I just want to, like, hole up in myself to conserve energy. But, like, he wants to support me and he wants to help me, and I need to bring him into that. So it's really a time to be vulnerable and grow together and be challenged together and struggle together. But ultimately, you know, that's how God will strengthen our marriage, by going through these difficult times together. And also, I'm a firm believer that community is so important, and not just like having a friend that you can, like, go have a play date at the park with, but people that you're sharing your, like, other women that you're sharing your heart with and living life with, and, you know, sharing in each other's joys and struggles. And, you know, Brené Brown writes in one of her books about all these women in a village and how they all got washing machines and became depressed because they were used to going down to the river and washing their clothes together. And once they lost that sense of community and that sense of living together, it brought on this huge case of depression. I think especially right now in this pandemic, and everyone's holed up in their houses alone, we just feel so isolated. Mm-hmm. We just weren't meant to be that way. So I don't know, you know, what the solution is right now, but even to go on a walk with another woman, or just like commit to praying for each other. Like, there have been some low times when I'll reach out to a few good friends and be like, I'm just really struggling. And I can't breathe. I feel like I can't even reach out to the Lord. And like, they pray for me and I feel their prayers working, and I'm able to reach out and come to that. And we need that. We need that sense of community and others that we're journeying with.
Absolutely. Well said. What advice could you give to the husbands that are experiencing this with their wives?
Oh, just to be patient, for one. Like, I know it's just so life-changing for both of you. And those first few months when you're not sleeping and the baby is so needy.
Mommy
shock.
And
you were saying, like, you have that those first 3 months, you just are like a, yes, mommy shock. And so just to be patient with your wife as she's trying to figure this all out. And she won't have as much time for you in the beginning. But things will change. The baby will sleep more. She'll recover. But just to, I think wives can help by being more vocal about the things that they need and not just assuming their husband can guess, but to just to say, like, I need a nap. Can you please, like, clean out the dishwasher because it's been needing to be done all day and I've never gotten around to it. Instead of just, you know what I mean? So, like, being very clear about the things that you need, or just saying, listen, I haven't been out of the house in a couple of weeks and I would love to just, you know, get out with a girlfriend on Saturday night or something like that. Just for the husband to be supportive of that, but also to just to find time together. And not that it's going to be these nights out like they were before, but it's so easy to just, like, lay down and put a show on and, you know, like, zone out. But how can you, but just to be, like, conscientious of how you can make some time for your spouse in the day.
That really does help, I will say. And for me, when I was going through a lot of this stuff, I would say, husbands, if you can, time is huge for women, especially if you have a lot of children. And just giving your wife just maybe an hour, just say, let me take the kids, let me take the baby from you right now and go do whatever it is you need to do for yourself right now. Like, that's a big deal. That's a big deal to be able to just take your son or your daughter from your wife and let them just go have a shower, you know, like, because in the first couple of weeks of life, it's like, my gosh, you barely could get a shower in, you know, it's crazy just a shower. But just in that struggle, but just know that your wife just needs time, I would say, and just be gentle. Just be gentle and know that she's going through a lot and that this won't last forever, but it's just a season. And then just walk with her in that season and just talking with her and just doing those little things that may help, like Allison said, of doing the dishes or doing a load of laundry, just able to have that time for her to give her what she needs. I think that helped me the most. I don't know, but every woman's needs are going to be different. But just be sensitive that she just had a baby and that's a really big deal and that it's not easy. It is not an easy task. It looks like, Allison, we have run out of time and there's so much more that we could talk about. I think this has been so good for so many women, even myself, just talking these things out. It's so helpful in so many different ways. And I want to thank you for writing this book because it is so important for women and just to bring that postpartum exists and bringing it to the light. It's a big deal. So thank you for joining us today here at Woman Made New. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you, Crystalina. This has been such a blessing to talk about this.
I'm sure we'll have you back on again. And thank you, listeners, for joining me. And we will see you next week. I want to thank again my beautiful guest, Allison Auth. If you'd like to continue the conversation with her, you can find her on Instagram at Baby and Beyond. And if you'd like to know more about Women Made New, you can go to womenmadenew.com for information about my ministry. And I would highly recommend downloading the EWTN app for all things Catholic. It is really a powerful tool to have right there at your fingertips on your phone for all things Catholic. And it's definitely something we use here at the Everett household, and I would recommend you using it for your family as well. And if you could please keep me and my family in your prayers, I will definitely keep you and your family in mine. So thank you for joining me. I look forward to next week. Have a wonderful week, everybody. God bless.